You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Microsoft and Google disagree about when to publicly disclose a vulnerability. We get some industry reactions to the dispute. Terbium takes a good look at the dark web and finds it's not as uniformly sinister as many believe. Google and Mozilla move to reject dodgy certificates. NIST releases a job map. Anonymous gets a grade of incomplete in its trolling of ISIS. And the Shadow Brokers news seems a bit old. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. Microsoft says the Windows Zero Day Google publicly disclosed this week is being actively exploited by APT-28, the Russian threat actor also known as Fancy Bear, a GRU operation best known for recent incursions into U.S. political organizations. Britain's MI5 is also raising an alarm about Russian intelligence services' growing activity in cyberspace. Microsoft is upset with Google over the disclosure, which Redmond says has needlessly exposed Windows users to attack. A patch won't be available until next week at the earliest. Industry reactions are of two minds on this, as observers see both companies' points of view. The CyberWire heard from Fidelis Cybersecurity's John Babinek, who thinks in general the public is better served by disclosure even if a patch isn't available. However, as he goes on to say, quote, "There will always be a risk with acknowledging weakness. Even releasing patches can give adversaries the very clues needed to weaponize an exploit. This was very much true with Microsoft patches years ago, which have been largely mitigated by automated patching and rebooting within 24 hours of release." End quote. In general, he'd like to see disclosure go hand in hand with mitigation strategies wherever possible. nSilo CTO and co-founder Udi Yavo draws the lesson that regulatory requirements should come to guide disclosure practices. He thinks the industry practice of allowing 90 days for mitigation until public disclosure should become a regulatory requirement. Google's researchers disclosed the vulnerability earlier because they saw it being exploited in the wild, as has been Google's company policy. Yavo gets the point, but thinks the quick public disclosure was unwise. Quote, "To me, this doesn't ultimately help achieve everyone's goal, which should be keeping consumers and their data safe. By disclosing a vulnerability early without allowing time for a patch, Google opened up the small pool of people who found the vulnerability and knew how to exploit it to all." End quote. Terbium Labs has a report out on the sinister-sounding dark web, which became famous in the popular mind during the Silk Road prosecutions. But while there's certainly bad stuff going on there, sales of contraband, nasty adult content, and so on, most of the activity on the dark web is perfectly innocent, or at the very least, legal. It's just the Tor accessibility that makes the dark web dark. You can find Terbium's report, The Truth About the Dark Web, at terbiumlabs.com/darkwebstudy. Mozilla and Google are in the process of revoking trust from certificates issued by WoSign and StartCom. RiskIQ gives the CyberWire a satisfyingly precise tally of the number of websites using certificates belonging to those two CAs. They put it at 762,649. You may begin to see, if you haven't already, secure connection failed warnings coming up for sites that depend on WoSign or StartCom. The concern is that inadmissible SSL certificates can expose users to man-in-the-middle attacks, domain squatting, and redirection to phishing or farming sites. Any of these, of course, present the risk of compromise or data loss. This week, in conjunction with the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education meetings in Kansas City, NIST has released CyberSeek, an online tool showing where the security sector's jobs are. NIST worked out this online interactive map with CompTIA. It's an interesting look at the labor market. Check it out at cyberseek.org. When it comes to keeping personally identifiable information safe online, many people have turned to identity protection firms to keep an eye on their online identity, to make sure crooks aren't opening accounts in their names, and so forth. Identity Guard is one of those companies, and we spoke with Jerry Thompson about a new offering they're calling Privacy Now, which makes use of IBM's Watson technology to try to stay one step ahead of the bad guys.
The challenge with identity protection is that it's reactive. We're monitoring and scouring, but when we find you, the damage is already done. So about 90% of all the data that's available about you on the internet is called unstructured. It's in places that, like social media, like professional website. There was no ability for us to monitor that, nor anybody else, unless we use a technology like Watson from IBM, which is an artificial intelligence technology that allows us to funnel massive amounts of data through that artificial intelligence engine to find the pieces of information about you that we can glean so that we can do predictive or proactive protection for you. And we know from all of the algorithm and the models that we run that with about 98% certainty, we can predict identity malfeasance or privacy intrusions for you or your family members if we're running it through the IBM Watson model.
Can you take me through an example of how the system would work, of a sample attempted attack, and how this system could catch things that previous methods couldn't?
You've told us about your children as part of the process of getting to know you. And we see that your son or daughter is posting, fairly innocent, innocuous, Snapchat videos. But it's not Snapchat, it's another service, and they're not just going to a friend, they're going out to the wider internet. And while they're not, there's nothing wrong with them, your kids are being exposed because they're now identifiable, to a larger community on the internet. So we'll tell you that, hey, while the videos are okay, be careful and cautious because, thousands of people are seeing these and they can, they could potentially target your children. Because we can scour the internet and look for all this identifiable data, we can give you pieces of information that will help protect you and your family members from any kind of malfeasance that's out there.
What about my personal information, being scooped up and sold online?
If somebody's going to hack a major medical provider, we can't stop the hack, but we can identify your exposure in near real time. Near real time is 30 seconds to 3 minutes. As soon as that information hits the dark web and is for sale, we can identify it. We're very confident we can identify it, and then we can work with you to mitigate that exposure.
That's Jerry Thompson from Identity Guard. ISIS territory continues to shrink, and its opponents turn to information operations against the caliphate's coming diaspora. Various anonymous affiliated hackers have been after ISIS for some time. It's unclear, says Motherboard, with what effect. Give Anonymous an incomplete and note that the hacktivist collective is predictably skittish about being seen as too cozy with governments, even its allies of convenience against ISIS. Analysts have now sifted through the shadow broker's trick-or-treat data dump and find it mostly old news. The servers listed apparently weren't in equation group use after 2010. The shadow brokers are still grumping about the wealthy elites, how somebody ought to do something about the U.S. elections, and maybe the shadow brokers will. And above all, how come no one's bidding on all those equation group exploits the brokers are auctioning off? Come on, sheeple, take your heads out of the sand. Or so the brokers might say, you Amerikansky, you. Anyway, free elections, free beer, so we hear. And if you're taking orders, brokers, make ours a natty bow.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
Joining me once again is Ron Yehalem from Ben-Gurion University. Ron, I know a lot of your research has to do with USB devices, and I thought today we'd talk about ways that people hide data on USB devices.
Okay, well, there are some very simple, basic data hiding tactics. For example, you can always write a malware that writes into the master boot record of partition devices, or alternatively into a volume boot record. There's not a lot of space there available for writing, but for example, you can override the boot sector or other different areas. And those are pretty basic attacks. They're useful for holding certain values, but not a lot of data. Other methods include maybe writing inside reserved sectors, for example, on a FAT partition, if it has any reserved sectors. And even a more complex method would be to write into certain clusters on the partition and then just go back to the FAT table and for example, mark them as bad clusters or used clusters. So they might go unnoticed by the operating system's driver. And you can also sometimes, if you really want to hide your data, you can go to the root directory table and then just, you know, delete the entries that lead to those clusters, and then it won't be visible. There have been more complex methods. For example, let's consider the Fanny malware. According to Kaspersky's lab's global research and analysis team, Fanny is a computer worm that is thought to have been created by the Equation Group way back in 2008 and distributed throughout the Middle East and Asia. Now, its main purpose was apparently to map air gap systems, and it was able to spread by exploiting the same vulnerabilities that were exploited by the famous Stuxnet or Flame Worm. So when a USB stick is infected by Fanny, Fanny creates a hidden storage area on the stick using its own FAT file system driver. If an infected stick is plugged into a computer without an internet connection, Fanny will collect basic system information and save it onto the hidden area of the stick. Later on, when the stick containing the hidden information is plugged into an internet-connected computer, the data will be scooped up from the hidden area and then sent to a command and control center. How exactly is this done? Well, Fannie simply changed entries in the root directory table so that they would be ignored by the file system drivers, as if it were a data corruption or a bad block. As a result, this entry is not visible in Windows, Mac OS, or Linux, and it's probably not visible to all other implementations of any FAT driver. However, the Fannie malware is able to recognize those entries because it marks them using a magic value. So with the help of its own FAT driver, it looks into the root directory and locates the entry, which starts with the magic value. Then it navigates to the address on the partition that appears right after a special flag value in that entry. And this address will have a different magic value serving as a marker for the beginning of the hidden storage. So you see, it's a very complex attack, all done by manipulating the FAT file system.
Are there any ways that people can protect themselves from these sorts of attacks?
It pretty much usually goes undetected because it's very hard to detect these things even by conventional or non-conventional forensic tools, because you simply don't know what you're looking for. You know, the Equation Group is widely known for using encryption to protect its data. Specifically, the Fannie didn't make an effort to encrypt data, but had it done that, you would not be able to distinguish between actual corrupt data, binary data, or encrypted data. So it's very hard to detect these things.
Ron Yehalem, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.